And go to Proverbs chapter 26. Proverbs chapter 26. And we're going to read verses 13 through 16. Proverbs 26, 13 through 16. Proverbs 26, 13 through 16. I will read the odd verses, and if together we can read the even verses. Proverbs 26, 13 through 16. And let's go ahead and stand as we read the Word of God this evening. Proverbs 26, 13 through 16. The slothful man saith, there is a lion in the way, a lion is in the streets. As the door turneth upon his hinges, so doth the slothful upon his bed. The slothful hideth his hand in his bosom, it grieveth him to bring it again to his mouth. The sluggard is wiser in his own conceit than seven men that can render a reason. And let's pray. Father, I thank you for today, and thank you for the message that we heard this morning. And Lord, I pray that you help us and strengthen us to be able to apply that to our lives where we can have more joy. But Lord, we need you to meet with us tonight. We need you to speak to every heart that's in this room that can hear this message, whether it be in the speakers or online. I just pray that you just bless and you guide and take the word of God that you've provided for us, you've preserved for us, and use it to speak to hearts today. Help our faith to be increased. Fill preacher the powers that brings the message to us. We'll give you honor for what you do. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
Amen. All right, as we continue in the book of Proverbs tonight, Proverbs chapter 26, I want to preach a message tonight recognizing the fool. Of course, as Solomon is giving instruction to the next leader, the next king who's going to lead the country, and having to deal with different types of individuals and knowing people, and probably Solomon knew individuals and people. If you read through the book of Proverbs, you'll see and understand that he knew people and the types of people very well. And as he's teaching on the fool, and there are some key elements in which gives them away, and he's teaching here telltale signs that gives the fool away right away. And we see here in verse 13 through 16, we'll look at a couple other verses as well about the fool, and that is that they're lazy, they're slothful. And the Bible talks a lot about the sluggard or the slothful. And of course, the opposite of a slothful man would be a diligent man. And though he's often has the abilities to finish a task, the slothful man or the lazy man does not. And he, instead of finishing a task, looks for ways in which he can come up with excuses of why he can't carry it through or why he could put it off. And he tries to find excuses for not doing his work. But Proverbs lists two excuses of why the sluggard or why the lazy or slothful man doesn't do his work. And one of them is it's cold outside, and also the lion in the way. But an interesting characteristic of a slothful man is the wastefulness. And it never amazes me. And I guess just growing up, not with the abundance of things and everything that we did get. Boy, being appreciative, knowing that everything that me and my brothers got was worked for very hardly by my, I don't know if that's the right word, but very hard by my father. And as he was a very hard worker, many times he'd come home from his job and do a second job of working on cars out in the driveway or out in the dirt before we had the concrete pad in the garage. He'd work on cars out in the sand with cardboard and plywood, and many times in the cold and the heat, and out there for many, many hours trying to make some extra money, and worked on Saturdays at our church buses to help pay our school bill to put us in Christian school. And so I was very appreciative of what we had growing up. And so when we were able to do things, it was not taken lightly. But and one of the things that amazes me in our day and age is the wastefulness. I've always been taught not to waste and to not to not appreciate what you have. And so whether it's food, whether it's through cars or possessions, you'll always appreciate more what you have when you have to pay for it. And I truly believe that that our society, we get things for free and we expect things for free, and we're, you know, we have a generation that wants free schooling and free education and free free phones and free healthcare and free this and that. But we don't appreciate what we have, and we tend to not take care of the things that we have because we didn't pay for them. And that is one of the things I've noticed about a lazy person is their wastefulness. And so many of today's generation are so wasteful because they've been given way too much. And they feel that the world owes them. And boy, you try to take it away, you want to start a riot, start taking away people's free things that they have at no cost to them. But it comes at great cost to the taxpayer. But the slothful man's characteristics, it makes him an unpleasant company to be around. And no one wants to work next to a lazy person. And sometimes we don't mind being the lazy person, but no one wants to work next to a lazy person because that means you've got to do double the work. And as a Christian, if we're slothful in our work, if we're slothful, if people know at work that we're the lazy one, that's a bad testimony to Christ. And that should not be. Boy, as a Christian, I believe we should be one of the hardest workers in the workplace, in the workforce. We should be there on time. We should work hard, and we should work till all the work is done and one of the last to go home, because that represents who we serve. And that says a lot about our Savior by those that know us as a Christian. But as we look in the book of Proverbs, is look back to verse 13 as we start here, there's some things that Solomon is pointing out here in chapter 26 in recognizing the fool, is that, of course, that they're lazy and they like to make excuses. A lazy person will always come up with an excuse. There's always a reason of why they can't. And so look at verse number 13. The slothful man saith, there is a lion in the way and a lion in the streets. And think, boy, I'm sitting here thinking this afternoon, I'm like, okay, he could have thrown a rock. He could have gone and got the town and the village to come and move this lion out of the way. He could have walked around it. He could have gone out the other side of the village and walked around. But yet, it's just the saying, any excuse will do if you just have one available. Doesn't matter what it is. It's always amazing. Well, I can't do this because, I've got this going on in my life and that going on in my life. And you think, well, that has nothing to do with that. But it doesn't matter to the lazy person. Any excuse will do. And they like to use excuses. And, why didn't you do what I said? Well, and they start coming up. And that's just sinful nature. That's our sin nature coming up. That's what happened when Adam and Eve became sinful creatures. And God came to them. And what do we see? God asked them how they knew that they were naked and how they knew right from wrong. What happened? Boy, the finger pointing started going on. Boy, you thought you were in D.C. It was, no, it was him, it was her, and it was it. And boy, before you know it, it's not my problem. And that's what happens when our sinful nature and that laziness starts to come in. We're never, a lazy person's never in the wrong. They're never at fault. There's always someone else. It's always amazed me. There's always someone else to blame other than themselves. And maybe you know of someone or have a family member that when they break something or drop something, they immediately, it always amazes me out of my children, that someone will knock something off the edge. And now, instead of their fault for knocking it off the edge, it's why did someone put that there so I knocked it off? And it's always amazing how we tend to naturally point fingers and make excuses. But this is the MO, this is the operation of a lazy person, is to always come up with an excuse. There's always a reason why they can't go to work. There's always a reason why they can't serve. There's always a reason why they can't read their Bible. There's always a reason why they can't tithe. There's always a reason. And it doesn't matter what the reason is, but as long as there's one there, they can feel good about themselves and continue. As we see this lazy individual, he couldn't go around him. He just had to go back home because there was a lion in the way. And lazy people, they come up with the most ridiculous reasons for why that they can't. And so make sure that we don't make excuses. Make sure that we don't fall into that category of a lazy individual. Down the road of life, there's two hazards. There's the workaholic, the one who works too much and, of course, doesn't biblically stop and take time for a family, doesn't stop and take time to read their Bible and pray and to be thankful and grateful in church and service for the Lord. And then there's the sluggard. And we've got to decide where we're going to be. And hopefully neither. I want to be right in where God wants me to be. But yet we see that there's a reason of why they can't. But look at verse number 14. Not only do they come up with excuses and always have one ready, but they like to sleep. Verse 14 says, "And as the door turneth upon its hinges, so doth a slothful upon his bed." I was thinking about that as a door opens and closes. Is it always comes back right to where it was? And as a hinge, when you open a door, you walk out of the door tonight, or you go home and you open up your front door. You know that when you go to close that door's in movement. It's always going to go right back to where it was. And that's what Solomon's saying about a lazy person. Boy, they get up out of bed and they do the bare minimum. Before you know it, they're right back under the covers. And so, as a door turneth upon its hinges, so doth a slothful upon his bed. Right back to bed. And sleep is important. Boy, God, rest is biblical. But there comes a point where our rest becomes more than what it should be, and it becomes very dangerous in our life. And we've got to make sure that we don't allow laziness into our lives. And, you know, the fool obviously has a serious character problem, a character flaw, in that sin nature and that lack of character. It's always revealed by our love of sleep. And sleep is important. And many times I feel, as I just had this conversation, believe it or not, with my daughter today, as she's almost on the verge of tears because she has to take a nap. And I tried to tell her, I said, "There's going to come a day when you get to be my age and you're going to cry if you can't take a nap." And she's just like, "That doesn't make sense, Dad. Why would never do that?" And I said, "Oh, I thought the same thing too. You just wait." And lo and behold, boy, she slept for hours. And so she didn't agree that she needed it. But it comes to the point where sleep is, we should treat sleep like a child. Well, just do the bare minimum of what we need, because, you know, be honest, we'd all agree that there's things that there's just not enough time in the day to get done. We all have a project list. I'm sure if we were going around the room, every one of us has a list of things that need to be done at work, things that need to be done at the house, things that need to be done for the Lord and our ministry and service. And so with that, we need to keep sleep in its proper perspective, and sleep is important. And we should make time and schedule it, because if we don't, we will damage our body. There's the extremes there on either side. And so being well-balanced in our service for the Lord, and that's where living by a schedule will make sure that we don't love sleep to the point where we let the things go that need to be done from getting done, because our character will reveal our love for sleep. That love for sleep will cause, it's amazing, going through Bible college, as we started the year, and they would say, by the end of the year, many of the freshman class, you won't be here. And I thought, boy, that's crazy. How could that be out of a freshman class of almost 900? That means 400 students by the end of the year aren't going to be here. And it was amazing. Within 3 or 4 weeks, some students were already withdrawn absence because they had slept in and were late to their classes, that they never made it. And they paid for them. Boy, I thought, what a waste of money, or waste of their parents' money that they slept through all those classes. But it revealed their character, their love for sleep, that they weren't disciplined enough to get up and to do what they were supposed to do. But that lack of character is always revealed. But not only do they love sleep and they come up with excuses, but they refuse to help themselves. Look at verse number 15. It says, "The slothful hideth his hand in his bosom, and it grieveth him to bring it again to his mouth." Now, I was reading that this afternoon. I'm thinking, that's a whole nother kind of lazy, to where you can't even bring your hand. And I've been tired. I've been weary. And I've been exhausted to extreme exhaustion, to where you get home at the end of a hard day. And boy, maybe a long week. And you're just like, I can't move. I'm so sore. I'm so tired. But someone who has the energy or has the ability to, but just can't muster up the character enough to lift his arm, to lift his hand. And that's, what is it saying? That there's some people that are too lazy that will work with their hands. They want to live off of your hard work. They want to live off of your efforts. And a lazy person prefers to mooch off of others and their relatives and their friends rather than become employed or pursue a career. They'd rather stand out or sit out by the curb and take your good hard-earned money than to help themselves and to get up and to get. And one of the things that frustrates me is seeing. There's one thing when someone's disabled and they don't have the physical ability to work, but it's a whole nother one when I see young men in their prime, younger than me, with muscles on their legs and their arms, and you can see that they are fit and they have the ability to work, but they choose not to. That's what the Bible says. A lazy person will hideth his hand, and they're too lazy to work, and they'd rather mooch off of others. And so we've got to understand why we work. Helping our children understand why we work, so that when they grow up someday, they don't end up back at my doorstep. And I want my kids to be hard workers. So one of the things I believe that my parents instilled, not only by my dad's example, but my mom almost also pushing me, saying, "Hey, why don't you go out there and help your dad? Why don't you go sit and watch him?" And boy, just being out there, it not only did it help me learn how to do things, but I also sat there and I saw with my own eyes how hard my dad worked, and the sweat and the blood, and sometimes as a mechanic, and tears of doing those jobs. But we got to understand why we work. You know, there's a purpose in what we do. There's a purpose of why we work. And it's biblical that we work. In Genesis chapter 2 and verse number 15, you know, God has made us and designed us to work. Now, work is not, it's not a part of the curse of sin. Because before Adam had ever sinned, God had given him a job. That he had a job to work and to do. Now, toiling with the ground and with the thorns and the weeds, and that is a curse of sin, that we toil with the sweat of our brow. But work in and of itself is not a curse. That's what God created us to do. He's created us for a purpose and to work. And God had given Adam a job in the garden long before sin had entered into the world. Genesis 2:15 says, "And the Lord," and this is before sin had come in Genesis chapter 3. But it says, "And the Lord God took the man and put him into the garden to dress it and to keep it." God had already given him a job to be a manager or a maintenance man, to take care of the garden and to keep it and to do it properly for the Lord. So God made us to work. And there's a joy. There's even though I sometimes, I'll come home from a project and I'll be physically tired and weary, or come home and mentally tired and weary and just exhausted at the end of the day. Boy, there's still a joy. There's still a happiness within me as a man, knowing that I've given a hard day's work and I've done what God created me to do. And that completion, that fulfillment. And I love, there was a Navy, I believe he was an admiral, that was speaking at a college and said, you know, at least nothing else, talking to some graduates, some young people, said, if nothing else, get up and make your bed. And because at least if you don't do anything else, you've at least accomplished one task. So there's something in the purpose of accomplishing a task that brings joy. As a man, there's ladies, you may maybe you feel that way after cleaning the house or love looking at a project that I've built, saying, "Boy, I've built that. I've completed that. I did that with my own hands that God gave me the ability to do." Boy, as a man, that means a lot to be able to finish those tasks and to do those things. Why? Because God made us to work. That is an ability in which God created us to do. But He also commands us to work. You say, "Well, I don't know if God made us to work." Well, whether you agree with that or not, God has commanded us to work. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse number 10, it says, "For even when we were with you, this we command you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat." Well, understand, we can't live, we can't survive without eating. So therefore, we got to work. And boy, one of the things that compels me, you know, and I've said this before, you know, the laziest person I know is me. Because I know all the times I don't want to do things and I want to sit down. Why? Because that's our sin nature. But understanding God has commanded us to work. We are commanded to do not only physical work, to take care of the things in which God has given us, maintaining, all the work that goes into maintaining this property. And I've already made a visual list of things that I've got to do this week, is looking through the flower beds and the property and things that need to be done. Why? Because God has commanded us to work. And boy, I want to be a good keeper. I want to be a good manager, a good steward over what God has given us. And I like to eat. Therefore, we need to work with our hands and do what we can. And maybe you say, "Well, maybe I'm not employed by a job. I'm a stay-at-home mom." Trust me, you have a full-time job that requires overtime. And so, ladies, I always joked with my wife, and she'd say, "Oh, it must be nice. You get to go off to work." And I always sit and say, "Yeah, that right. You know, I'd love to trade with you and to see, you know, at least I could do the work in my pajamas, or at least I could do the work on my schedule." But then those few days where I had to switch with her, and I'm begging and pleading, saying, "Can you please take it back?" But understand, whatever the work may be, God's commanded us to do something with our lives. And so God's commanded us to work. Number three, we also good reasons to work, and understanding why we work. Not only that God's made us to work, He's commanded us, but we support our family. We support others. We're a blessing to others when we do. 1 Timothy 5:8 says, "But if any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel." Well, that's pretty harsh language on an individual who's such a lazy bum that won't provide for his family. Is worse than an infidel. Boy, that with faith, if we are faith and trust in God, it motivates us. We are driven to work because that's what God has commanded us to do, and it's what He's created us to do. And we support others and are a blessing to others when we do. Lastly, 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse number 2, it says, "Upon the first day of the week," which that would be Sunday, not Saturday like the Seventh-day Adventist would claim that the Sabbath is on, or as a Christian, "let every one of you lay by him in store as God hath prospered him, that there is no gatherings when I come." We support God's house and God's work in the world evangelism and supporting missionaries by our work. You know, our work doesn't just have a physical, you know, here right now, a monetary gain in the sense of money, but it also has a spiritual gain. That as we support the work of God, as we tithe and we bring to the storehouse that which God has blessed us, and we have a part. You know, every missionary that we support that's across the globe, in almost every continent, across the globe, that we have a part, you have a part in that. Every soul that's saved, we have a part in that, a financial part, as we work to support, to keep that missionary on the field. What to think that the work here in which this church has been able to do over the years and been able to accomplish and to take care of the property and the house of God that God has given us, that can only be done through the faithful giving of His people. And we have a part in that. And we support God's house and His work through our labors and our work. And very, very biblical. And so working, a lot of people nowadays, boy, they think that work is a dirty word. No, work is something in which we can, God has allowed us to do. He's commanded us to do. It's something we must do. Whether it be taking care of the house in which He's given us, working there in the yard, working there in the house to keep it clean and maintained, or working outside of the house to provide financially to support, to pay the bills, you know, that there should be a sense of fulfillment at the end of each day, knowing we have fulfilled what God has created us to do, what God's designed that and in us, and that's why I laugh when I hear of some evangelists or some preachers or even some laymen who say they're going to retire for the third or fourth or fifth time. You know, that individual has learned a long time ago not to be lazy. And boy, I'm very grateful for those individuals who have that drive in them to work and to do as much as they can with the time that they have. And boy, take advantage of that opportunity. Don't look at your, but we should be thankful for our jobs. Maybe it's not the dream job that we desired. I can tell you right now, this is not the dream job that I went to Bible college saying, you know what, Lord, make me a pastor. But let me tell you, I love doing what I do. And boy, there's joy and there's fulfillment in being a blessing and a help to others as we do the work of the Lord. Whether the work of the Lord is you driving a bus, whether it's you running a machine, whether it's teaching a class, whether it's working in an office, let me tell you, there's honor in being faithful to work and in keeping ourselves from this characteristic of the sluggard, the lazy, or the slothful. As the Bible says, that the slothful individual will always find themselves wanting, will always find themselves in trouble. In Proverbs 15:19, it says, "The way of the slothful man is a hedge of thorns." Boy, everywhere you go, there's going to be pain. There's going to be heartache. There's going to be trials and troubles. And so let's just work. I love using the verse that my mom always used on me. As I would come and say, my room is clean, and she would walk in and look under the bed, lift up that blanket that I would bring all the way down to the floor so you couldn't see under the bunk bed. These are the days before trundle beds, and so you had a lot of room to shove under there. She'd open up the closet doors and look in all the boxes and see where I had shoved everything. She'd open my drawers of my dresser, and she'd say, that's not clean. Well, that's just decluttering. That's just picking up the mess and throwing it in the hiding it. And she would always quote, whatever thy hand findeth to do, do it with all thy might. Boy, as I heard that over and over again as a child, and understanding that what these hands are put to, as a Christian, as we are representing God, everything we do should honor God. Therefore, whatever job or whatever task we set ourselves to, we should do it the best that we can. But we should never be happy with second-rate work or just enough to get by. And it's now as I'm teaching my children and trying to help them to understand, you know, if we're not going to put ourselves to a task, if we're not going to do it right the first time, or if we're not going to do our best, then what's the point in doing it if we're not going to do it with all thy might, if we're not going to follow scriptural advice when it comes to effort put forth with our hands. So this week, I don't know what task it is that you have. I don't know what jobs. Maybe you won't be able to get to all of them. I understand there's a list that I have that is months and months worth of work. But what is it this week that we know we need to finish. That we can't put off another day. We can't put it off. I used to grow up watching the Ma and Pa Kettles, the old little TV movies of back in the backwoods in the country. And it was always interesting that Pa would always say, if something would fall and break, well, I'll get to it one of these days. We'd laugh and joke and think, oh, that's funny. But in the life of a Christian, that brings shame upon and reproach upon the name of Christ if we live that slothful life. And the promises that Psalm is saying, hey, this is the kind of life, if that's what you want to live, if that's the kind of life and the kind of testimony you want to have, then get ready, because life is going to be hard. You're going to always be wanting. You're going to always be falling off of others and in need. And boy, when we fall short in providing for those in which we're responsible for, boy, the Bible says it's worse than an infidel. Boy, what a testimony we're living for Christ, whether it be good or bad. We are making an impact in this world. Just depends. We are making an impact in our children and our grandchildren. Just depends on which impact we want to make. And as Solomon's trying to help the next leader, if you're going to work with people, you need to know how to identify them. And here's one of the telltale signs of a slothful man. Here's some things in which you'll know. The excuses, they'll come to you why they couldn't do what they could do, when we know what the Bible says about the slothful person. So I don't know what it is this week that we put our hands to, but let's do it with all our might. Let's do it, and let's bring glory and honor to God. And let's go to work tomorrow. Let's go to work. Maybe you go to work tonight. I don't know. But let's go to work, not judging, saying, oh, I have to. No, let's say, this isn't a curse of sin. This is what God created us to do. And let's do it for the glory of God. Amen. And shouldn't we do everything for His glory and His honor? So therefore, we should be the experts. We should be the best at what we do. Why? Because we represent the King of Kings. Other people may show up at work wanting a paycheck, wanting to go out and to buy things for themselves, or to go out and to go on vacations, or to have money and to get rich. That's not why we work. No, we should work for the purpose of which God created work for. And that's what He created us for, as a purpose and a reason. We can have a part in that. Amen. Let's pray. Dear Lord.